flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Good morning.
I'm a winner. I know how to win.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. The third hour of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Phone lines open, 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to get at us in that direction. That is also the text line number if you want to get at us in that direction. You are, of course, welcomed and encouraged to do so. For those of you watching on the stream, catastrophe and chaos in process, but welcome to the show. Like, it's what happens when you get me out of bed that early in the morning. We are now very happy to be joined by a young man who drives the number 71 Chevy Silverado for Spire Motorsports in studio and on the stream, although my I don't know technology, dude. I don't know how y'all do it. Raja Karut joining us. What's up, big fella?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me here this morning.
Yeah, glad to have you. Listen, we're going to talk racing here in a minute. You just rolled up in that commander's hat.
Dude, my entire adult life. So, okay. And a resident Chiefs fan. There's two Chiefs fans over
here. Yes,
there
are, and they have not stopped chirping.
Yes.
We'll get to them in a minute.
So let me preface this by saying, personally, I am more of a basketball and track and field and soccer guy than football.
Well, it's because you're a more Commanders fan.
I mean, yes, but also one Oklahoma drill in Pop Warner in like fifth grade, and that was it for football for me. So, and I kind of quit growing. So, but anyway, but yeah, I mean, from living in D.C., going to school there, and, yep, and really growing up in that. I say the DMV. It's great to see the resurgence of the city and kind of the cultural impact that Jaden has had on the team, but also the new ownership, and then just the different culture that's kind of going around the city from a sports perspective now. I mean, I remember when the Capitals won their championship, the same with the Nationals a few years ago when I was finishing up high school. And so those were great experiences to kind of witness, and to see kind of the Commanders turn is awesome. And hopefully I can add my legacy to that of DC sports.
The what I saw this year out of Jane Deals, which, by the way, 22-1 rookie of the year bet before the season started. Dude's going to be a stud. Yeah, like that a lot. I got a buddy of mine who's a Commanders fan back home, and they have not stopped talking about it. And frankly, I don't blame you guys. It's a good player. Good ball player.
It's just because I remember when RG3 was drafted, you know, and I remember we can. I'm not getting into that. overall, it's just great to see, and I think also the Wizards, although their record isn't good, I really like the young core that they have with Keyshawn George and Alex Saar and some of the young guys we have on our team. So excited to see the growth of the Washington Wizards. Because I remember, with Bradley Beal and John Wall and Marcin Gortat and
that team should have been
so good. A really, really solid team with like Paul Pierce and them guys, and definitely was hoping we beat, Avery Bradley and them Celtics, in the Eastern Conference Finals. But anyway, good future, I feel like, for DC sports, especially with the Commanders.
Like that a lot. Rajah Carew joining us here in the studio on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Ups. They are big dog. Let's talk a little racing here. You're driving on the Truck Series. I want to start with this because as we promoted this segment throughout the week and I was telling people you were coming in, the question I got asked a bunch of times, and I know it's kind of like starting at the top and then we'll drop back down, is what is the difference between driving a truck versus driving a more traditional stock car when you're out there on a NASCAR circuit?
Yeah, I mean, there's honestly a lot of similarities. I think that obviously a big difference is the bodies are different, but in terms of kind of the construction of the chassis, the suspension, the fuel we use, the tires, like all of those are super similar, especially compared to the Xfinity Series that is one tier above us. The Cup Series has kind of gone on a different route the last, three-ish years with its next iteration of evolution with their new car, and that's kind of something different than traditionally has been in NASCAR with sequential gearbox and the different tires and all that stuff and the different bodies. But really, in layman's terms, outside of the bodies, there's not much differences. The horsepower is similar. We run the same tires as the Xfinity Series does. Our races are just a little bit shorter sometimes. We get to go to different racetracks. Last year we were able to go to Circuit of the Americas in Milwaukee. This year we'll go to Lime Rock for the first time, go back to New Hampshire for the first time since, I think, 2015 in the Truck Series. So it's nice with the difference in our rules and the length of the races, we can go to kind of different facilities, whether it's, Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course that we went to a couple years ago, same with Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. So it's fun to drive, and at the same time, I really enjoyed my time running Xfinity, and can't wait to run in Cup one day.
In the hierarchy of racing, kind of explain to people what trucks are, what the Craftsman Truck Series is, because it's obviously looked by a lot of NASCAR fans as kind of a developmental thing, but it's also this entirely different style of vehicle than you would drive on Xfinity or all the way up to the Cup Series.
Yeah.
So talk to me about kind of where you are in that whole system.
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing about NASCAR in terms of progression, it's not there's not a certain path you need to follow. I mean, there's an ideal way, but compared to other sports, right, it's not just on your merit and talent. It's also about the funding that's behind you, whether it's from your family or from people that are behind you. And I'm fortunate enough to have HendrickCars.com supporting, our efforts at Spire along with Chevrolet. And for me, racing in the Truck Series, we compete against guys that make their living competing at this level, and you can make a good living doing so. But same with the Xfinity Series, where you have guys that run there for the durations of their careers. But you have younger drivers like myself that, will run in Truck Series, then go to Xfinity and then the Cup Series, or we'll go straight from trucks to Cup or from Xfinity to Cup. And so that's, depending on a bunch of different factors, whether that's, the financial side of it to, their disability. But it kind of takes the all-in-one package. So, no story is the same for sure.
Rajah Carew joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Drives the number 71 Hendrick Cars Chevy Silverado for Spire Motorsports. How did you get here? Like, give folks a little bit of the background of how you ended up, not just as a NASCAR driver, but driving for Spire on the Craftsman Series.
Yeah, so I guess I can go back to, I was born in Atlanta, but I grew up in Brooklyn a little bit, primarily D.C., lived there 11 years, and I guess now I'm 22, so I lived in North Carolina a good little bit. But growing up in D.C., I was a big race fan. I went to my first race at Richmond, went to Dover, Pocono, kind of the only real NASCAR tracks from a national level to go watch races in the kind of the Mid-Atlantic region. And so really for me, I was, like I said, a fan from the Cars movie, and growing up in D.C., there's not much, local racetracks or anything to get involved from a regional level. And so for me, I started racing online, and that's kind of how I got my start. started competing in different divisions on the sim racing side of things, and got noticed by the NASCAR Drive for Diversity program, and they developed me from 2019 when I was a senior in high school to all the way through 2022, and that kind of gave me a platform to start making my starts in Xfinity and trucks, and then make my first truck starts with Spire, and then full-time at GMS in 2023.
I know I'm getting old. Mark Benetti's going to feel me on this. I think I just grew gray hair, because when I started in this game 17 years ago, it was, oh, my dad built me a go-kart and I was racing. And now it's, I started on virtual racing, e-simulators. And I think that's great. You're talking about the commander's hat. Like, I laughed the other day at the story. Jaden Daniels said that whoever signed him into an NFL team, one of the contract obligations he said was, you have to provide me with this VR training.
I saw
module,
that.
Right?
I saw that. That I was wondering if that was real, because, yeah, like, I, you know, it's the internet, right? Yeah. But I literally saw that, and I was really wondering if that was real. Yeah. So that is actually is really, really cool, because that's super similar to really how I've kind of just built my career, not just from a learning how to drive standpoint, but from a branding perspective and marketing perspective as well.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's
really cool.
It almost comes across as a joke. There was like a Swiss company who built this VR platform, and they brought it to LSU. And he credited that for his Heisman run, to the point that he said, wherever I go in the NFL, I'm using that. And I say, like, oh, it makes me feel old that all these young drivers are like, I grew up on the Cars movie and e-racing. But at the same time, like, if you gave me 2 days to prepare for a race, what would I rather do? Go run shorty go-kart tracks or get on a simulator that all of this tech and work has gone into? I imagine that's an incredible, valuable asset.
For sure. I think that you can look at it two different ways. I think you look at somebody like Max Verstappen, he's a four-time F1 world champion and sim races all the time. You know, same with other F1 drivers like Lando Norris, and not to mention the really skeleton of a ladder system that they have overseas with their way to get to Formula One with, you know, F2, F3, and all the other divisions that I have zero knowledge about. And it's a great entryway to racing in real life, but also at the end of the day, right, you have to have that understanding of the tire and what things feel like on a realism perspective. And so that's always the thing to really draw the relationship between sim racing and real life. And so you look at someone like William Byron, who is a NASCAR Cup Series winner, perennial championship contender, and he started like I did on iRacing, and to go with his sim racing, he had so much experience, whether it was in legend cars, late models, you know, doing it with some of the best teams and having that experience. So that's, I think, an imperative thing to have, of not only competing online and getting those skills from an online perspective, but pairing it with the real-life experience. And you see it with Jaden, obviously, with not only the VR training that he was able to do, but obviously the hands-on training that he's able to do with his coaching staff and everything. So
keep it a buck. Good excuse to tell Spire you need like a really dope gaming setup at the crib, right?
Oh, I've already got one, bro. I've been had it. And, you know, Chevrolet has a great simulation program, or General Motors, I should say, for not just the NASCAR side of things, but for our Cadillac sports car teams, our IndyCar teams, and even the F1 program that's coming.
I was going to ask, so is there like a special advanced sims that you guys have access
yes.
to?
Yes, there is that. I would say not the average person can go and drive. Pretty much for on the NASCAR side of things, every Chevrolet, Toyota, and Ford all have their own facilities with these simulators. And it's honestly like kind of a semi-big IMAX theater with a moving cockpit and airbags that simulate the brake pedal and everything. So it's pretty cool technology for sure.
Britton, I need you to hook up a field trip, buddy.
Yeah, on. Charlotte Technical Center for GM. It's a pretty
Benetti,
cool building.
Get on it. Raj Carruth joining us here in studio on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, if I had to ask you right now, so far, Craftsman Truck Series, obviously working our way up towards Cup down the line. If I had to ask you right now, your best memory, your best moment from a track or maybe behind the scenes or whatever that you think makes a great story, what would it be?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I guess if something I've experienced, I think every year we go back to race at Richmond, whether it's in the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series, and that was the first place I went to when I was a young fan. And so every year we go and we bring fans, young fans, whether it's kids from Boys and Girls Clubs or DC Public Schools or different summer youth programs, and bring them to the racetrack at Richmond. Excuse me. And it's a great, personally, it's a great big deal for me to have them at the racetrack and give them that first experience of being in the industry. And I think that's personally important to me because otherwise a lot of those kids would have no clue about this different world that's out there. And so I think that's personally really important to me. So every time we can bring kids to the racetrack, especially to Richmond, you know, which is, you know, right down the street from D.C., not down the street because of traffic, but, you know, the closest track to the district. And, you know, I was that kid, you know, not even that long ago. So it's super important to me to be able to do so.
I think it's interesting. We've had this conversation about how sports, especially legacy leagues and organizations, might be kind of struggling to connect with the next generation of sports fans because there's so much out there in the way of entertainment, right? Like there's a million streaming services, yeah. Video games everywhere.
I wish I loved cable. Like there's so many different streaming services now. I wish cable. Like I have YouTube TV. Just
we're almost back to cable.
Yes, in a way, right? In a way, yeah. But it's crazy because you have all these different bills. But continue.
So as far as like connecting with that next generation of fans, I have said for a very long time the best thing that any organization can do is ask of their athletes to do that, is to ask the people that we don't turn in to see the commissioners' meetings. We watch games. We don't tune in to hear what the France family has to say. I tune in to watch Logano and Kyle battling down turn four in Daytona, right? What level of responsibility to bring that next generation into the NASCAR world do you feel, especially when, you know, growing up running on e-simulator, something that didn't really make an appearance until I was in my mid-30s, you have a unique way to bridge the old generation of NASCAR fans and the next generation of maybe NASCAR fans. Do you feel some responsibility to fill in that gap?
Yeah, for sure. But honestly, I really welcome that because I just remember being a fan for so long. Like, I didn't start driving until I was 17. And everyone else that I'm racing against started when they were 12, 10, 8, or younger, right? And they've kind of been able to just go up through the ladder and been really placed in these situations to learn how to drive. Whereas, you know, my dad and I really just took advantage of opportunities that were there, but also had to like even fight to get our foot in the door. So I remember being that kid in high school. I had this internship as a junior at the George Washington University at the Charles Smith Center, where the basketball team plays, volleyball team and all that. And I had an internship in the box office, and every day I was just dreaming of just getting involved in racing and somehow, and I just started iRacing. And at that point in school, you know, you're wondering like, what's the next step? Whether you're going to go to college, whether you're going to play sports or go straight into the workforce. And so I just remember those days of just dreaming about being a part of this industry and being a driver. And so fortunately now I can say that I'm a driver and I'm on my way, hopefully. And so with that being said, I really just cherish it. And it's not any pressure. It's a responsibility that I really honor and cherish. And so it's really important to me to do my best in doing so.
I like that. And I like that because I have felt I was not a NASCAR guy till I got to college, met a buddy of mine who I'm still friends with that was very into it. And I didn't get into it until he told me one time, come with me to a bar, going to watch a race. I'm buying the beer. I will teach you all the things beyond go fast, turn left. And it really took, I think, like an inflated exposure to racing that I had never had the opportunity to have before to get into the sport. Like, it is a sport that has a high threshold of entry as a fan. So the opportunity to come in, do stuff like this, do stuff like NASCAR Night with the Swamp Rabbits, be on TikTok or Twitter, whatever, kind of feels like that's the way NASCAR needs to be pushing to fans.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a multi-layered conversation, right? Because NASCAR's got its identity, but also there's things to be taken from other sports to, like you said, help draw in the next generation, but also not lose what's genuine to the sport and what's been a part of its identity. So that's a super deep conversation that it's probably too long to get into right now. But like you said, I think it's super important. You think about NASCAR's got their relationship now with Amazon Prime, and I think that's super important to have the presence on that platform. And I think as well of having drivers like myself go to do different things, whether it's in the pop culture scene, other sports, in music, not making music, but I'm saying like being present in that space, I think is super important to show for the drivers that are willing to show their personalities, because that's what helped grow the sport to its heyday in the 90s and 2000s, having those guys being willing to do stuff kind of out of their comfort zone to help the sport. And as opposed to a lot of them nowadays just going golf all the time and just hang out with their buddies and stuff. So definitely Yeah.
Raj Garut joining us here on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan. I'll say one other thing I love, and then we'll talk about the Greenville Swamp Rabbits NASCAR night this Saturday at the Bonsecours Wellness Arena. Tickets still available at swamprabbits.com. One of the other things that I think NASCAR is doing, and it maybe took them a lot longer than some of us would like, but it is happening, is putting an effort on increased diversity on and off the track. You've got guys like Bubba out there spinning circles. You've got Michael Jordan coming into the ownership group. Other actors on the outside, guys like Magic Johnson. Like, it is becoming a sport that is not just accepting more diversity, but like embracing it and pushing it. How has that been in your eyes as somebody who is relatively newer to the biggest stage? Have you noticed that? Has it felt like a difference for you on the big scale versus some of the smaller tracks, et cetera? Which been your experience in that world, if you've had one?
Yeah, I think the way I see it is that I'm living proof of that change in the guard of, you know, who can become a driver and the welcomeness of the sport. And it's been nice to kind of see that, and not just drivers like myself and obviously Bubba racing in the Cup Series and LeVar Scott in the ARCA Menards Series, but you'll see in lead engineers and marketing directors and coordinators and people that work at NASCAR corporate. I think it's living proof of the changing of the guard and really for the better in the sport. So it's great to see, and I hope that it continues to be an actual thing, because it is and it's legit, and just hope it continues to be that way as I grow into the weeds of the sport.
Love that. Love that. Raja Karuth joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. Drives the number 71 Spire Motorsports Chevy Silverado on the Craftsman Truck Series. And in town this Saturday, the Greenville Swamp Rabbit hockey team with NASCAR. Hockey and NASCAR. Like, it's the weirdest crossover this team does. And yet, it's their most popular night every year. How you said earlier, you remember the Caps getting theirs a couple of years ago. Love watching Ovi play. Like, what an absolute dog. He's going to get Gretzky this year.
Yeah, 100%. Right? On a broken leg, which is insane, but yeah. But
my man missed like 16 days with a broken freaking leg. I roll my ankle, I'm out 2 months.
Dude, I don't
He's
get
a machine.
It. I don't
He's
get
a machine.
It.
Talk to me a little bit about this crossover between Spire Motorsports, Spire Hockey, obviously owners of the Rabbits. With your background in hockey, following the Caps, et cetera, how does this crossover feel to you as a driver coming to stand on a hockey rink?
It's really cool. I think this is my second time attending the event. I went last year, and it was super great to see the NASCAR fans come and meet us drivers, but also get that. I think some of them had their first experiences being at a hockey game, and it's great because obviously NASCAR's got a big presence in the Carolinas, and to have them get exposed to hockey at, especially at the Swamp Rabbits and supporting them, I think it's super important. So I think for me, it's great to see kind of just new people getting exposed to different things. I think that's one thing that's important about racing, is where you get exposed to new experiences. And I think NASCAR Night is no different. So it's going to be great to see.
Have we gotten you on skates yet?
Oh my, okay, no.
Can we get you on skates?
I have a bad story about ice skating, not even hockey. Okay, so I was probably 11. And we were off from school, so my mom took my sister and I ice skating. And I didn't know how to stop, so I slid, and I pulled my mom down, and she broke her wrist. Yeah, so this is probably not a good idea.
Dude, I was waiting on you with the I ate it, and you just went,
no.
I ruined my mom.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. Sorry, Mom.
Have you seen a therapist for it yet? Has she seen a therapist
for
it?
No, but it's okay. It's...
It's mom. She forgave you eventually.
Yes, eventually.
How pumped up are you to get out there on Saturday? I mean, like I said, we've done this the last couple of years. It's a sellout night every single year. That place gets absolutely rocking. What a day this is going to be for Greenville, for the Spire Motorsports team, and for you guys as drivers to get out there and kind of shake hands with crossover fans of both sports.
Yeah, it'll be great. I think it's great because it's almost start time for the season, and for me, I always associate this event with like, all right, it's getting go time pretty soon. And like you said, it's a great crossover event to kind of marry two different audiences, and I think to expose them to drivers, which compared to other sports, I think NASCAR drivers are some of the most approachable athletes that you can meet in terms of seeing them pre-race and around, whether it's the Charlotte, Mooresville area, the Carolinas, and it's going to be a great crossover event. So ready to get going with it on Saturday, and then we'll be that much closer to the season.
Daytona 500 just around the corner, full-time Craftsman Truck Series. Right after that, he competes full-time in that Craftsman Truck Series, driving the number 71 Chevy Silverado for Spire Motorsports. In studio, Rajah Karuth, my man. Thanks for coming by. Enjoy the game Saturday. Good luck. We'll be watching you this year, pal.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and I'm hoping to beat the Eagles on Sunday. I got a couple Eagles buddies, fans that are Eagles, or I got a couple buddies that are Eagles fans, so we'll see.
I'll take the pick. Commandos to the Super Bowl. Book it.
Man, I told my dad we're going if they make it.
Let's
so we'll
go. Rajah Karuth joining us here in studio. We are back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, so we got to get back on the clock. Long interview there with Rajah Karuth, driver of the number 71 Hendrick Cars Chevrolet for Spire Motorsports in town for the Swamp Rabbits NASCAR night game on Saturday. Phenomenal interview. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm in pain. Literally and figuratively. Rajah Karuth. I enjoy whenever we get the opportunity to drive to talk to a driver for an interview at any level of any style of racing. I always enjoy asking, how did you get into this? Because it's if we're being real, like, traditionally, it's a very niche sport. Like, you, most guys get into racing because their daddy was into racing, and his daddy was into racing, and his daddy was a moonshiner who used to race the police, right? Like, there's that connection. But over the past couple of years, the sport is very much opened up. So I enjoy asking guys, how did you get into the sport? How did you find a love for racing? And when I was in my early days of this career, and we would interview NASCAR drivers or truck series drivers or whatever, they all kind of had the same story. Dad bought me a go-kart. I raced that. I loved doing that. I was good at it. So he bumped me up and he was taking me to the local track to race, shorties or whatever it was going to be. And then I just one day caught my break. Hey, Raj, how did you get into racing? Welp, I watched Cars and then I played a video game. And that's the thing is, it's not that that's the story of Rajah Karuth. It's that's the story of all these drivers now. And I think it's a great thing for the record. But remember when the pandemic hit, and it was NASCAR season when that happened. And when NASCAR was trying to balance, like, how do we run races? Because NASCAR tracks rely on their gate more than, say, the NFL relies on attendance in a stadium. NASCAR relies on the gate. So they're like, how do we balance? Do we race? Do we not race? How do we handle all of this? And one of the things that NASCAR did, and I gave NASCAR credit, I think they were the cutting edge of this. I think they were the most dynamic and ingenuitive group from the beginning. They said, strap our guys into simulators. Let's just show on television a sim race just like we would the regular race. They brought in Jeff Gordon and guys to do the call. They boogity boogity boogied it. Like, they ran a sim race, but they treated it as if you were watching a live NASCAR race. And I thought it was brilliant, right? You don't have to have the drivers leave their house. You don't have to have the color and TV guys leave their house. They can do it all right there at home. I thought it was brilliant. It was cutting edge. And that's just the way it is now. So now, all of a sudden, because NASCAR, it used to be that to get in, you had to have somebody build you a go-kart, and then you had to be able to go race late models and bombers and midgets and all these other car types at your local track.
Midgets are a vehicle.
It's a type of vehicle, correct. So you used to have to go do all of that, and that's not cheap. And it's certainly not cheap if you're not winning races when you're racing on basic equipment, right? But now you need a handful of $100 in a room. And you can put up a computer monitor, hook it up to an Xbox, throw a racing sim steering wheel and shifter and whatever, and you can find out, am I good enough to justify diving in? That's what happened to Raj. He's a Craftsman Truck Series guy.
Kids, when mom's getting on you about you playing a video game, you just bring him up and say, look, he is one of many who started out playing video games. Now he's actually racing for a living. Mom, I'm trying to do my thing here.
It's almost, at least if you want to be a driver, that's not really a joke anymore, right? That used to be a joke. It used to be like, oh, I'm going to play video games for a living. And now, with A, the rise of Twitch and these other streaming services, and B, iRacing is one of the most popular video games out there of any genre right now. You can jump on an iRacing at any point, and there's 100,000 people around the United States in ranked competitive races. He brought up William Byron. William Byron is a NASCAR Cup Series champion contender year after year after year. And that man started by popping up an iRacing simulator in his bedroom and just learning how to drive and figuring out, oh, I'm pretty good at this. Maybe I do try it at a local track. Turns out he was pretty good at it. I think that is absolutely fascinating that as we watch, you know, at the end of the day, basketball and the NBA and the NFL, I mean, they can advance, right? We talked a little bit about Jaden Daniels and the fact that he credited his Heisman run at LSU to this VR football simulator teaching him how to see defenses. To the point that when he got drafted, he said, whoever drafts me, you got to get me one of these VR systems. And the commander said, okay. Right? The fact that this is a mainstream sport in NASCAR, that it's almost at this point like the price of entry is that you had to have grown up on these Sims to learn the basics before we put you on a track. I think it's incredible. Hilarious.
And you also have to be a fan of Mater.
It doesn't hurt. We saw Larry the Cable Guy at the BMW Pro-Am a couple of years ago. He wears Mater golf shoes. They're fantastic. I think it's great that if I said, what sport do you think is most on the cutting edge of developing the next future athletes? NASCAR? Come on. But it is. All right. Now that I've made Lonzo run the bed twice, let's take a break. It's the Rob Brown Show. Talking NFL next on the Fan Upstate. Well, the National Football League might, possibly, maybe, have a little bit of an issue on the hands. Because after the game between the Kansas City Chiefs, the number one seed in the AFC, and the Houston Texans, the AFC South Divisional Champions, there were some folks online and on TV that were getting big mad. I'm going to play you two clips that kind of started off this conversation. For anybody that maybe didn't watch the game, this is two clips back and forth, live from the broadcast. Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, you'll hear Steratore in here as well. I'm going to play you these two clips in chronological order, the first and then the second, and then we will address them. Plus some other folks who chimed in. Here is play number one. He said, and then his computer died on him, so he's going to have to reset everything while he sets up the entire theme. Long story short, what ended up happening here was on a couple of different plays. Yeah, I know. No one's happier about this botch than Lonzo right now. No one's happier about this botch than the great one.
Feel me? For real. Do you feel him, sir?
All right, so I'll just play. Bleep it, we'll do it live. Here is a play in which Patrick Mahomes takes off running. He's doing his little improvisational run. He gets past the line of scrimmage. He is no longer a quarterback. He is now a free runner. A pair of Houston Texans defenders, including Will Anderson Jr., who had already been flagged for a roughing the passer that was controversial, depending on who you ask, in which it appeared that Will Anderson Jr. put his helmet into the chest of Mahomes, but it was called a head-to-head contact. So there was already some controversy going around. Mahomes takes off as a runner, gets wide, and this happens.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That was over a minute of Buck Aikman and Steratore saying, not cool, dude, not cool. Now, I watched that play initially after it happened. I had some family stuff going on during that game. I was kind of checking in and out as I was handling some real life stuff, unfortunately. So I saw the play on social media, and my immediate reaction was when I saw the still and the slow-mo, I went, oh, he slid. I went back and watched it in real time. And this is where we are going to butt heads, because this is going to be subjective from left to right. I'm going to say this. In watching it at live speed, I do not think I would say what Patrick Mahomes did was a slide. I would not give him credit for a slide. Mahomes waits until both of the defenders are actively carrying momentum into him. And I would say he effectively sits down, drops right to the ground. Now, I felt kind of bad saying that in that spot, because I'm like, hey, like there's some frustration there. Like, I get it. But I'm not the only one who said it. Here's Ryan Clark. So you have the Anderson hit. It's, again, you know what? Let's check on the vote campaign here. Let's check on the campaign. The question that I asked you, and the votes are still open for about another hour. The question I've asked is, did the Chiefs get help? Did the Chiefs get help? As of right now, 77% say yes, 23% say no. Did the Chiefs get help? So you had the Anderson roughing the passer, which I agree with Ryan Clark. No way I'm calling that. He got Mahomes in the shoulder pad. The rough and the passer call in that spot comes if there is contact to the helmet. There wasn't. There just wasn't. I don't even think that's subjectivity. He just didn't touch the helmet. That's a bad call. You had the slide that, again, I agree with Ryan Clark on that one. I would not call what Patrick Mahomes did a slide. I would call it a sit down. Now, can I be mad at Patrick Mahomes playing the gamesmanship? Because I will say after that, I am happy to say, to the chagrin of the great winning Chiefs fans everywhere, yeah, I believe Mahomes is getting calls. And I believe he's getting calls just like Brady got calls. I'm a Brady guy. And I will acknowledge that Tom Brady got calls. The tuck rule is a thing we only know because they tried to give Brady the call. Mahomes has filled the vacuum that Tom Brady left behind. He's the baby goat. He's getting the calls. But there is a difference to me between getting the calls and egregious. I'll give you another gamesmanship spot. The unnecessary roughness when Mahomes was hit out of bounds, except for the hole, he was definitely in bounds when he got hit. I went back and watched that in as many angles as I could find and as slow motion as I could find. Mahomes is not out of bounds when he gets hit. And if you watch it, to me, and here's where we get back into the realm of subjectivity. To me, Mahomes is getting to the sideline, and as he gets to the sideline, he slows up, he stops, and he takes the hit and goes out of bounds. Now, I'm not going to be, for the record, I am not mad at Patrick Mahomes for that. That is smart gamesmanship. 100%. If you know you're getting that call, hell yeah, you get 15 for freebie and a first down. If you know that call's coming, if you slow up and get that 15. I'm trying to win the damn football game. What I am upset with is we have got to do better. This man was not out of bounds, and that's the rule, a hit out of bounds. Mahomes was not out of bounds. He got pushed in the back. It doesn't matter, for the record. It doesn't matter if he flopped or not. Half the people think he did. Half the people, it doesn't matter if he flopped. He was in bounds when he got hit. If you don't want to get popped out of bounds, get out of bounds. But he slowed up. He took a shot, and it was 15 that I will say this, and we'll see how Lonzo feels about it. I think even the most ardent Chiefs fan has to acknowledge, if not the Will Anderson roughing, if not the slide roughing, at least you have to acknowledge that the hit out of bounds called roughing was not a roughing or an unnecessary roughness. He was definitively inbounds.
All right. This is a movie when you see the plot coming, you're like, nah, they wouldn't do that. They're going to do something else. So is the most viewed playoff game, by the way. May or may not have something to do with Taylor Swift. I don't know. The most viewed. This is setting up for the following week. That's all this is. That's why I was rooting heavily for Baltimore to win, because then the plot would change, but it did not. Buffalo was able to win that game, so this is all about next week's game. This is the NFL. This is Troy Aikman and every other loser out there who says this crap. They want Buffalo in the Super Bowl. So what you do is you draw so much attention to what you call bad calls or gamesmanship or whatever. So when next week rolls around, suddenly the referees are like, oh, they're all looking at us. So Buffalo will get all the calls. Kansas City will not get any calls at all. And Buffalo goes to the Super Bowl. It's so easy. It's so predictable. It's right out there for everyone to see. But instead, it's like, oh, look at this. You take advantage of the hate for Kansas City. And so people won't see what they're doing. And it's unfortunate that the script is going to play out this year where Buffalo goes to the Super Bowl, because they planned all this week in order to draw attention to the referees. Now, the referees have no choice but to go in favor of Buffalo. This is all a plot by the NFL to get Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Let me respond to a couple of things.
And by the way, real quick, Patrick Mahomes is doing what he's doing within the rules. There's nothing against what he's doing.
Oh, I already said
and,
that.
Yeah, and that's, if you can't figure out how to stop it, that's on you.
No,
and
no,
if you
no,
don't
no,
like
no,
it,
no, no,
too
no,
bad.
No, 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 no.
I'm not talking about you.
I know, but let me add a couple of things. Number one, if you can't figure out how to stop it, I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you what what Patrick Mahomes, by playing this game, and again, gamesmanship. I'm a big gamesmanship guy. If you can figure out an advantage in the rules, do it. I'm a NASCAR guy, big gamesmanship guy. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, though. What's going to happen, though, is somebody's going to go, fine. If you're going to call every little time that we touch him a roughing, then we are going to give you a reason to throw the flag, and I'm telling you,
and
Mahomes.
And by the way, they should. They should.
I'm
they
telling you right should. Now.
I'm just agreeing with you.
No,
I'm
no, so, I know.
You know, I know I'm interrupting you, but I'm agreeing with you that he's probably going to get hurt pretty bad because of this. That's a chance he's taking. And if I'm a defender and I know I'm going to get the call anyway, I'm bringing it.
Mahomes is going to get dusted at some point. He's going to get vaporized.
And he knows that.
Because
and he's
a Will
willing to take the chance.
A Will Anderson Jr. is going to come off the edge, is going to have an open run at Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to go, they're going to call this anyway, so I'm going to end him. And here's the other part. You had not just Texans players. You had other active NFL players on Twitter going, this is kind of getting ridiculous.
Stop all the whining.
If Will Anderson, well, okay, hang on. You know what? No. Let me put that to bed. You said that this was part of the script so that the refs could treat Buffalo kindly next week in Kansas City. Are you sticking with that theory? I'm going to say yes.
No, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm trying to get you to also
okay,
look at the
clock.
Okay,
I got it. I got roughly a minute and 6 seconds.
We've been extremely late all day.
Here's your theory. Okay, so your theory is that this game was set up to make the refs, gives the ref the opportunity to pendulum to Buffalo the other way, yes or no?
No, it's been set up so the refs will have to call it a certain way to where it won't look like Kansas City is getting a call. So Kansas City is in trouble next week because they're going to get manhandled by Buffalo, and no calls are going to go against them.
Let me finish my theory here. If you believe that's the case, were these calls in this game appropriate? Yes or no?
In the speed of the game, they were absolutely appropriate.
Okay.
And if you don't, if you see otherwise, then you don't know football.
Wait. Okay, hang on.
You don't know football.
Wait, let me get to the last question then.
Because you're not the knower of football today. I am. Listen, I told you in the first hour, what did I tell you what I was going to do? I said I was going to embrace the heel. Embracing the heel means you're going to be mad at me. And I don't care, because I'm the heel.
I'm not
mad. And Kansas City is the heel. And everyone hates us. That's what, just like everyone hated Ohio State, everyone hates Kansas City. It's all a plot. It's all everything. You know what? Forget everybody. Forget the world. Forget. Go Chiefs.
Okay, Kevin Owens, I see you over there. If that was the plot and the calls were appropriate in this game, then what changes next game? Nothing. That's not that can't follow.
You trying to be clever is not working.
It's not clever. That's reality.
Listen, you got your clever smile on your face. You think you're going to pull something against the heel. You're not going to. I'm the heel. You're the baby face. It's a rare place for you to be. I get it.
That's true.
It's a very rare place for you to be. But I make sense, much like Kevin Owens, like you said, much like Drew McIntyre. I make sense.
844-326-3663. Here is the question. Did the Chiefs get help? All you have to do is text yes or no. 844-326-3663. Did the Chiefs get help? Text yes or no.
Don't vote in a skewed poll. Come on. This is just to get at me. And fine, it's working, okay? Do not vote in this poll. What was the number for them to not vote in this poll?
The number to not vote in the poll, did the Chiefs get help, yes or no, is 844-326-3663. Text very simply, yes, they did get help, or no, they did not get help. And we'll see how the Upstate feels about this game. We'll talk more about that, or not, I don't know, after Lonzo. Are you going to read it with like a heel intonation here?
No.
Sports Flash.
Hang on, Chris. We'll get to you after the break. The Ohio State Buckeyes, another villain, are your 2024 national champions after a 34-23 win over Notre Dame last night. Will Howard finished up an incredible postseason with 231 yards and two touchdown passes, while the Buckeyes ran for 214 total yards, including 102 touchdowns from Quinshon Judkins. The Buckeyes defense held Notre Dame to just 53 rushing yards. Both teams finished the season 14-2. The betting odds for next year's national championship are already out. University of Texas is the betting favorite at +450, followed by a title repeat by Ohio State at +500. Georgia is 6-1. Oregon and Penn State are both +750, followed by Alabama at 13-1, Tennessee at 16-1, LSU at 18-1, and Clemson at 20-1. South Carolina is on the board at 40-1. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins take on VMI right here on the Fan Upstate.